Will you pray with me this morning? Shepherd of all the sheep, keeper of all the flocks, open our hearts and our ears that we might hear your voice and follow you. Amen. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." Now, how many of you have actually ever met a shepherd? You know a shepherd? Have you seen, like, no? See, me either. I'm glad it's not just me. I've met zookeepers and farmers and veterinarians and all sorts of other people who take care of animals, but never have I met a shepherd. Oh, wait, Chris, you've met a shepherd?
Down in Australia.
Down in Australia. All right. You want to come do this? Okay. Thought I'd see. Well, the people in ancient Israel who heard Jesus say, "I am the good shepherd," would have certainly, like Chris, known a shepherd. They were the ones who in that society would have been hard workers. They would have been, it would have been a hard scrabble profession to tend to all of the sheep. Still, most of us have never met a shepherd. So I decided when I was working on this sermon that I would be on the lookout for other professions and tasks in our society today that might also describe what Jesus was and is in relationship to those who follow him. So I was at a meeting at our synod office. I was meeting with the bishop. No, I hadn't done anything wrong. I just serve on a committee that he chairs. So in his office, he has a big shepherd's staff. It's called a crozier. It looks like a hook on one end, which you probably wish you had from time to time that would reach me, right? Anyway, he has this big shepherd's staff, and it's propped in the corner of his office because the role of bishop is said to be like that of a shepherd, kind of taking care of the sheep and making sure that the sheep are well tended. But our bishop, in the other corner of his office, keeps a toilet plunger and a pair of rubber gloves. He does. He says that this is a much better metaphor for what a bishop has to deal with in ministry than the shepherd's staff. It's messy being a person in ministry, and by that I mean all of us, not just the bishop, not just your pastor. It means for him that he works with congregations to help them get unstuck from what keeps them from serving God in the fullest possible way. It means clearing away some of that stuff so that the reality of living as disciples of Jesus has room to flow freely. So I wondered if I could use that metaphor, Jesus as plumber, helping us unstop the clogged up places in our spiritual lives. And I don't know. As much as I appreciate our bishop, I am the Roto-Rooter plumber, said Jesus, just didn't work so much for me. Then I saw a story on Facebook. It was about the workers in the tulip fields in Mount Vernon. And do you know what they're doing in these days? They're deadheading the tulips. Even the beautiful blooms that are left there, all of that color and beauty on top of those green stems is being plucked off and discarded. Huh, I thought, that has some potential. Because if those workers don't pluck off that flower, the tulip won't regenerate to grow for the next generation. And I wonder, how often do we reach some achievement, some blossoming, or some blooming goal in our lives and think that we have made it there entirely on our own and that we can just stay there and that that will be enough? That like a stunning yellow tulip, we can stand straight and tall in the field and forget all that it took to get us there. We forget that it took somebody to plant, and somebody to water, and somebody to fertilize. And in order to grow into the next season of our lives, we're going to have to allow Jesus to come along and deadhead what maybe we are clinging a little bit too hard for, too hard to. And now this made some sense to me, especially when I think about the state of congregations in mainline denominations these days. You know, after World War II, we began to grow into entire fields of congregations, tall and strong and vibrant, planted in rows and cities and towns. We blossomed into what we imagined to be our full selves. Our pews and our parking lots were bursting at the seams. And it never occurred to us that the societal and cultural needs that caused that kind of growth that led us to build buildings just for us. But that wasn't a sustainable plan, that maybe it wasn't the plan of the master gardener for the whole of the creation. Yesterday in this place, I saw all of our gardener volunteers working in the garden, pulling up weeds. Talia was hauling them off, weren't you? We'd pull up weeds and we'd make a pile, and I've embarrassed her, but she was hauling away the weeds. And I thought, how often do we need that in our spiritual lives? How often do we need somebody to take away what isn't good growth, or even to take away what we think is the most beautiful growth, so that something else can be planted there? I am the master gardener. I thought that had possibilities. Next Sunday, we'll talk more about that. So then, this week, I was riding to a synod conference, and Sister Liz Culver rode with me, and many of you know her. She's a deaconess in our community. She was raised in this congregation. And she works as our Synod's Community Organizing Specialist. And I said, Liz, what do you think about the metaphor of Jesus as the Good Shepherd? Liz has a son whose name is Shepherd, so I thought she might have something to say about that. And this is what she actually later on wrote to me, so I can quote her in this. She said, Jesus is a community organizer, because a community organizer is a person who knows the people in their context, who holds their stories as sacred, and who builds relational power that moves people to action that can change the context for the better. Good organizers, she went on, have reciprocal relationships with people that allow for trust, expectancy, and promise. A good organizer always follows through and makes good in a relationship. Like a shepherd, an organizer guides, moves, and cares deeply for their networks. However, she concluded, I'm biased. I am the good community organizer, said Jesus. I think I could get with that one too. And then I found this metaphor from a lovely English woman. She wrote, the Lord is my choir master. We might say choir director. I shall never be out of step with the music. The Lord leads me in songs of praise and thanksgiving. The Lord causes me to hum softly as I go about my daily tasks. The Lord sings me a quiet lullaby to bring me rest at the close of the day. The Lord teaches me a restful, quiet air to sing, which brings peace to my troubled spirit. Sometimes, as I feel God's power and majesty, my soul is lifted up in a symphony of swelling music. I sing out in joy and praise. But at other times, when the music is silent or strident or unfamiliar, at those times I look to my choir master to guide me and keep me on the right note. We do look to you to guide us and keep us on the right note. Then, once again, there is harmony, and we sing happily until the day when we join the heavenly chorus I am the good choir master, said Jesus. That has possibility as well. Of course, the reality is that what Jesus said was, I am the good shepherd. And although it may be an unfamiliar image to us, there are truths enough in that statement that it is worth holding on to. One of those truths is that Jesus is the shepherd to many sheep, lots of sheep, all the sheep. In verse 16, he says, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold, and I will bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd. We spend a lot of time, too much time, trying to figure out or point out who we think should be in or out of our sheep gate. And the Good Shepherd reminds us that that is not our job. That is not our job at all. That it is the job of the shepherd to bring along all of the sheep, even the ones not from this flock, even the sheep we have excluded and pointed our fingers at and called others. Jesus said, there are others. There are other sheep, and I am their shepherd. It's important also to know that the Roman Empire, who we're studying in my Sunday school class, the Roman Empire used the image of the shepherd as the image for their kings. And so when Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, he was making a radical political statement. He was saying, I am the only king. I am the good shepherd. I am the only king. It was politically dangerous, and we know that eventually it cost him his life. He laid down his life because of that and because of his great love for us. I'm the good shepherd, Jesus says, who knows us and loves us and protects us. I am the good shepherd, Jesus said, who brings along all of the sheep so that there is one flock. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says, willing to lay down his life for my sheep. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. And that is good news for us, the sheep of his pasture. Thanks be to God. Amen. Mm-hmm.